reading from our scripture. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, I'd like to start today by talking with you a little bit about competition. Now, I believe that competition can bring out the best in humanity, and competition can bring out the worst in humanity. As we look at students today, competition can make students strive to do their best, to try to get A's in their classes. But competition can also drive those same students to steal answers for the midterm, to try to get that A. Competition today can make a baseball player go out and practice every day, going to the batting cages, going to the weight room, and trying to better himself in every way. But that same competition can also lead to that baseball player using illegal steroids, trying to get an edge on the competition. Competition can help a person get ahead in the business world. It can make a man or a woman stay late, work long hours, put in extra time at their job. And that competition at work can tear apart their family at home. It can ruin their home life. Separating themselves from their family, from their wives, from their children, from their husbands. Competition is good, and competition can be bad. Competition brings out the best in us, but it can also bring out the worst in us. Well, today I would like to look a little bit more at competition and what it can mean to us as Christians as we compete with other people and with ourselves. Today I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to be looking at this parable that I read for you just a few moments ago. The questions that I'm going to be asking are, why do we pray? What should our attitude be in prayer? And how do you lead prayer when you're finished? So remember these three questions, and we'll begin by asking the question, why do we pray? Now in our scripture for today, we find this parable that Jesus told about these two men that went up to the temple to pray. These two men go together at the same time to the same place to do the same thing. But that's where the similarity between these two men stop, right there. One man is a Pharisee, the other man is a tax collector. Now when we hear the name Pharisee, we often think of negative ideas. We think of the way Jesus described the Pharisees as a brood of vipers or as whitewashed tombs. But in these days, in the days whenever Jesus was living, most of the Jews would have looked at the Pharisee and exalted them and lifted them high. You see, the Pharisees were the most well-educated people in all the community. They knew the Hebrew Scriptures. They knew the Tanakh inside and out. They had Scriptures memorized and committed to heart. They knew the law and they could recite them without looking at the books. So the people in the community would have looked to a Pharisee like this with a lot of respect. They would have looked up to him. And then Jesus later would come along and point out some of their weaknesses, and today we get this negative view of the Pharisees. But in this time and day, the Pharisees would have been held high. They would have been respected by the people, by the Jews. But then we have this tax collector. The tax collectors were hired by the Roman government to go into your homes and collect money from you that would go to the Roman government. The Jews did not like the tax collectors. First of all, they didn't like the Roman government. They didn't think they needed to be under control of the Roman government, let alone give the Romans money. So these tax collectors would come into their homes and take money from the Roman government. They didn't like that. Furthermore, these tax collectors would come in and they would take more than just what you were expected to pay to the Romans. They would put, you know, some of that money in their own pocket. Anything they collected above and beyond what the Roman government required them, they kept for themselves. So you can just figure that the people in this time, the Jews in this day and age, didn't think too highly of the tax collectors. So we have the Pharisees that are up here at the high level of the culture. People respected them. And we have the tax collectors way down at the bottom. And these two people are going up to the temple at the same time to pray. And you can assume that they didn't go in together. They probably weren't arm in arm, buddy and buddy, because the Pharisee probably would never be seen with a tax collector. He would never be seen with somebody that lowly. So these two people come in. Let's say the Pharisee comes in first. And he's coming down, say, an aisle like this. And he's looking around and he's waving up to the women in the women's court. It's good to see you today. He gives a nod over to the Gentile men. Nice to see you. Good to have you here. He looks around. He sees some other Pharisees. He's slapping some high fives. Good to see you today. And then he comes up to the altar. And he begins to pray. He's like, look at me, everybody. I'm a Pharisee. Now I'm going to pray. Just so that I have your attention. Watch me pray. I thank thee, O God. And of course, we use the King James Version. I thank thee, O God, that you did not make me like the thieves, like the rogues, like the adulterers, and like this tax collector of all people. I thank thee, O God, that I give 10% of my income. I thank thee, O God, that I fast twice a week, every week. This was the prayer of this Pharisee. He was one of society's elite, and he knew it. He knew that he was better than all these other people. And they knew it too. And if you didn't know he was better than you, he made sure that you knew it whenever he prayed out loud. He fasted twice a week, every week. I rarely fast. I don't know about you. I don't miss a meal. He fasted twice a week, every week. On our Christian calendar, that would mean he would skip 104 meals a year. Now, the Jewish law required that you fast twice a year. So he was going above and beyond that, fasting 102 times more than he had to every year. And he was giving a full 10% of everything he made. Now, we think of the tithe as giving 10% of your income, but the Pharisees in that day weren't required to give 10% of everything. They were required to give 10% of their mint, their dill, their cumin, a few things like that. But this guy was giving 10% of everything. A full 10%. He wasn't trying to cheat anybody. He was actually giving 10%. He was something special. He knew it, and now everybody else in that room knew it as well. He was better than them. He was better than us. He was better than this tax collector. At least that's what he wanted us to think. So now let me ask you this question. Why is it that we as humans feel like we have to compete with one another? Why is it that we feel we have to be better than somebody else? Why do I have to be better than you at Scrabble? And why do you feel you have to be better at me than me at pitching horseshoes? Why do we have this competitive nature within us? Now, I agree that it is helpful for us to be competitive in certain things. It is helpful for us to be competitive in our place of work if we really want to get that promotion. It's good for us to be competitive if we're playing in the World Series. That is helpful for us. But when does this competition become bad? When does it consume us in our every being? And I would think that it would be helpful for us as Christians if competition does help make us better, if we were competitive in our faith. Wouldn't it help us if we took that same competitive feeling that we put towards Scrabble or towards horseshoes or towards baseball and applied it to our faith in Jesus Christ? But the question that I have for you this morning is, with whom are we to be competitive with? Now, as I look out in this room, I know all of you fairly well. Now, what if we were to get into a competition, a faith competition? At first, it might be helpful for us both to compare one another. You know, I live with Sonia, my wife, and And I see what she does every day. It might be helpful if we were somewhat competitive and trying to do the spiritual disciplines and praying, things of that nature. But soon it starts to work against one another. It begins to divide us. Soon I start to say, well, you know what? I saw Sonia hit the snooze button twice this morning. I know she didn't do her morning devotionals. I win that one. Soon we'll start saying, hey, Joe Schmo over here. I know he went bowling on Wednesday night. He wasn't at the church meeting. I was there. I win again. But we compete against one another in our faith. Inevitably, there is a winner and a loser. And that's the problem, competing against one another. We are not called to compete against one another, but to lift each other up, to help one another along the way. Now, 2 weeks ago, I heard a famous speaker, somebody, he's pretty famous, well-known. I heard him speak, even you were there as well, so you'll know this story. This speaker was talking about, he comes from Philadelphia, from a large church in Philadelphia, and every year in this church, they have a preach-off. They have 4 or 5 different pastors come into this congregation, and one after another, they preach in order. Like, I would preach, Daniel would preach, Son would preach, Joyce would preach after that. And this guy with tongue-in-cheek, he said that it was, you know, for the glory of God. But he admitted that it was a bit of a competition to see who was the best preacher out of the group. Now, I have a lot of problem with this. Now, it's great if you are the first person. If you win, if you come in first place, that feels pretty good. I like to win. But who wants to be in last place? What if you were using the gifts that God has given to you, and you come in last place in a competition like that? I don't really respect that preaching competition that much. I would hate to come in last place. If I felt like God was calling me to be a preacher of the Word, if God was gifting me to do that, and I got told I was the worst out of the group, that would break my heart. Who would want to be in that position? But you know what? I do it every week here. Every Sunday, I get into a bit of a competition as well. Every Sunday, I have the chance to pray before each and every one of you. And sometimes I put a lot of work into that, a lot of thought. I get out my little dictionaries and my lectionaries, and then I try to figure out the best words that I could use that would just roll off my tongue and sound like, you know, sweet to your ears, roll off my tongue like poetry. I try to pray to impress people. So that people will listen to my prayers and say, you know what, that Kevin's a good prayer. He does a good job. That sounds like a competition to me when you're comparing the way I pray to the way other people pray. Again, I ask the question, why do we pray? Is it a competition between us and someone else? No, that's not the way it works. Now, I do believe, I said earlier, that it is good to be competitive in our faith. And I said, competitive with whom? Competitive with myself. I compete with Kevin every day with my faith. I want to get better every day to build upon where I was yesterday. To not fall back, but to go forward. I compete against me. I try to get better. So why do we pray? If it's not a competition like this Pharisee made it out to be, when it was competing against the sinners, the tax collectors. Why do we pray? Well, it's a holy conversation with God. This is why we pray. We enter into a time of dialogue between us and God. Offering God our praises to Him, our thanks to Him, and also asking His intervention in certain areas, asking His blessings upon our lives. That is why we pray. It is a holy dialogue. But how many of us make it into an unholy monologue? Do we really take time to listen to God in our prayers? Now, we've probably all been in conversations with people in our lives, and it seems like it's very one-sided. We may meet somebody, and they tell us, well, hey, guess what I did today? I did so-and-so, went so-and-so place, and let me tell you about my kids. Let me tell you about my job. Let me tell you about this about me, and this about my house, and this about my car. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's kind of hard to listen to people that just talk about themselves over and over, on and on. Now, if you look at our scripture from today, in this parable, this Pharisee uses the word I four times in two sentences. This Pharisee, all he's talking about is himself. Because I thank you that I am not like these other people. The focus of that prayer is on himself. Shouldn't we spend time in our prayer listening to God, what God has to tell us? Shouldn't we spend time thanking God for what He has done, not for what we have done? This is to be a time of holy dialogue with God, not an unholy monologue for us to voice how good we are, how special we are, to tell God why He should love us more. You know, God already loves us as much as possible. There's nothing that we can say or do to make God love us more. So let's thank God for that, rather than trying to make God love us more by competing with one another or by trying to tell God how good we are. So that is the answer to why we pray. But what should our attitude be when we pray? Now we come to the second person in our parable for today. And this person is much different from the first. The first person, the Pharisee, came in with pomp and circumstance. He was, enjoying seeing everybody waving, slapping high fives, seeing these people. But this tax collector comes in, and you know what he does? He doesn't go straight to the front to make a big deal. He probably comes over here to the side. Maybe he sits down, so he's out of the main line of view of everybody. Bows his head. He says, God, be merciful upon me, a sinner. Now compare those two prayers. The first prayer, the prayer of the Pharisee, those of you that have taught at the elementary level will probably appreciate this. Think about the subject and the predicate of these two prayers. Who is the subject of the Pharisee's prayer? God, I thank you that I am not like these people. Now who is the subject of the tax collector's prayer? God, be merciful upon me, a sinner. God is the subject of the prayer of the tax collector. The tax collector comes in and he doesn't make a big scene. He doesn't throw his hands up and make a big deal like the Pharisee does. And he makes God the subject of the prayer. It is the attitude of this tax collector that sets him apart from the Pharisee. Now, if we look at the Pharisee, he had a lot of things going for him. He was fasting twice a week. He was giving 10% of his income. So when you compare him with the tax collector, he was doing things pretty well, wasn't he? Maybe he had some reason to be somewhat conceited. Maybe he had some reason to think highly of himself. But if you compare yourself, or if the Pharisee was to compare himself with Jesus Christ, well, he would have nothing to boast about, would he? Because each and every one of us, no matter how good we think we are, has not measured up to the standards that Jesus has set. He has come and lived a sinless life. And no matter how good we are, we can't do that. Now, the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, well, think about it for a minute. Think how great Paul was. He says himself, a Pharisee of Pharisees, born in the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. If anybody had reason to boast, it was Paul. But he considered all that rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Paul says, if I boast, may I boast in Jesus Christ. We must be humble when we come to the Lord in prayer. Because everything that we have, all good things that we have done, are only because God has allowed us to do them. All good things come from God. Now, yesterday, Ronald and I had the opportunity to hear Bruce Hanke speak a little bit. And Bruce Hanke is the pastor at Greenmont Fellowship Church, somewhere over around Stewart Strath. I'm not exactly sure what the name of that area is. He's been there for about 4 years, and he was talking about some of the ministries that he has helped to begin there at Greenmont. They have a young adult ministry that is alive and growing here in the Stanton area. But they also have a ministry on the complete other end of the spectrum. They have a ministry that goes out into the nursing homes. and take music along with them, and they sing to the people there. They have ministries that reach out to people that are poor, that need money. They reach out to people of all different ages. But you know what? The one common thing among all these ministries is that none of them bear the name Greenmont. If you look at the young adult ministry, it's called LAFA. It's not called Greenmont Young Adult Ministry. Or the older adult ministry in the nursing home is not called Greenmont Older Adult Ministry. They have their individual names, and that's for a reason. The reason is so that the glory of these ministries does not go to themselves, but they go to God. Now, Greenmont supports all these ministries. They give to them financially and support them. Almost all of them are supported solely by Greenmont. But they don't want the attention. They don't want the credit for these things. To God be the glory for all the ministries that are working through them. So I believe that when Bruce Hankey prays for these ministries, I believe he doesn't say, God, look at all we're doing. Look at this young adult ministry. Look how fruitful it has been. And look at this older adult ministry and how much good we are doing. God, we are doing wonderful things here at this church. That's not what I hear coming from Bruce Hankey. I hear Bruce saying things like, to God be the glory. Thank you, God, for working through us in this way. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be an instrument of your grace. Thank you, God, for having mercy on a sinner like me. When we pray to God, we must come to him with a humble heart, recognizing that all good things come through God. That is what separates this tax collector from the Pharisee. The tax collector has a humble spirit. So my third and final question for you this morning is, how do we leave prayer? What happens during prayer? What changes in us? What difference is there when we pray? Well, if you're like that Pharisee that came forward and said, thank you, God, for blessing me, or thank you, God, for... I should rephrase that. If you're like that Pharisee that comes forward and says all the things that he has done, that he fasts twice a week, that he gives 10%, well, if you're like that Pharisee, you probably don't think anything needs to happen in your life. And nothing will happen, to tell you the truth. You'll just continue on with the status quo. Continue on doing the things you're doing. Because you think it's good enough. And you give yourself all the credit. But if you are like that tax collector that comes forward, humbles himself, beats upon his breast and says, God, be merciful upon me, a sinner. But you will lead that prayer justified with God. And what does that mean? What does it mean when you are justified with God? It means it is just if I never sin. That's the way this tax collector left from that prayer. The Pharisee left in the exact same manner he came in, and he was all right with that. He didn't know any better. But that tax collector came in, and his life was changed. Things were made right between him and God once more. So when we pray, first of all, why do we pray? We pray to have a holy conversation with God, a holy dialogue with him. What should our attitude be when we pray? Well, if we want our lives to change, we must come with humility and recognize that it's only God working through us that can make a difference in our lives. If we don't want to change, we can be like that Pharisee and just say, God, look how wonderful I am. But when we leave prayer, if we truly want to be changed, we must approach prayer like this tax collector did, with a humble spirit, knowing that only God can make a difference in this world, and that God can work through us to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those around us as well. We must recognize our need for God, humble ourselves, and give God the credit, and our lives will be changed. Will you please join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we come here today not to compete with one another, bragging about the many things that we've done. You know what we've done, Lord. But may we consider them things that you have done through us. Help us, Lord, to not compete with one another, but to compete with ourselves, to strive to do better every day. And help us, Lord, to give you the credit, to approach you in humility. And help us to pray, Lord, the prayer of that tax collector. God, be merciful to me, a sinner.